Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another thought-provoking show for you this morning. Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan made what I consider to be a veiled racial and stereotypical attack against the African-American community when he blasted inner city men for being part of a culture of laziness and exhibiting an unwillingness to work and depend on government. During a radio interview with a conservative radio host, Ryan's words were not infused with a slew of bigoted and overly racist language, but his reference to Charles Murray, author of the despicable and racist book The Bell Curve, which is largely debunked by the academic and scientific community, made Ryan's comments remarkably irresponsible and insensitive. We're going to explore Ryan's claims and provide the real story of what the folks in the inner city are really doing to survive. We're going to talk about that here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
What is profoundly disappointing about blathering privileged politicians who are not required to muddle through the hardships of life, like hunger and poverty, like crime-ridden neighborhoods, or they're not mired in a daily struggle of survival? What is profoundly disappointing is an arrogance that allows them to judge other people, especially entire groups and entire classes of other people, in a cynical and really a self-serving way. You couple that arrogance with a political and social agenda, and then tether all of these contrivances to an extreme ideological and religious worldview, and you have the makings of a smug politician who will castigate the poor, the least of these, or a community determined to live despite the odds. For me, folks, Paul Ryan and his ilk crystallizes the smug attitude and the contemptuous worldview that poisons our political system. The social fabric of our nation is being torn apart by Ryan and the folks that support his worldview and his political ideology. And what's worse is his intimate proximity to power. And I think a lot of folks miss this. He is in a unique position to exercise power. Paul Ryan has a legislative agenda that will hurt millions of Americans. And when he's that close to power, his words mean something to a whole lot of folks. So when he advances rhetorical slights against people in the inner city, it behooves all of us to remember that he and his conservative cohorts plan to act on their disdainful political and social ideology. Now, I want to be clear about something. His comments about folks in the inner city was a veiled attack against the black community. I don't care how you cut it. His reference is referring to the black community. Now, he may have walked those comments back by claiming he was inarticulate or inartful in his expressions, but his recitation of a known racist bigot, Charles Murray, suggests that deep within Ryan's core, he subscribes to a cynical and highly prejudicial, and some say racist, stereotype of African Americans. Why else would he refer to the works of Charles Murray and some other folks? Because deep inside, there is a bias against whole swaths of our country. And I've said many, many times, don't be fooled. Don't be beguiled by the smile, by the suit, by the title, or an ability to articulate an argument. What is profoundly true is that monsters and ideologues can obscure their bigotry in ways that suggest that they are good people. But in reality, folks, some of the most despicable people that you'll ever know. The most ardent segregationist, the most rabid supporter of slavery, the people that fervently defended classism and overt discrimination and created a hostile and deadly environment for proponents of civil rights are people that wore nice suits and spoke with great command of the English language. So I'm not fooled by Ryan or people of his ilk. Let's take a listen to what Ryan said on this radio show.
But I mean, a boy has to see a man working, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And so that's this tailspin or spiral that we're looking at in our communities. You know, your buddy Charles Murray or Bob Putnam over at Harvard, those guys have written books on this, which is we have got this tailspin of culture in our inner cities in particular, of men not working and just generations of men not even thinking about working or learning the value and the culture of work. And so there's a real culture problem here that has to be dealt with. Everybody's got to get involved. So this is what we talk about when we talk about civil society. If you're driving from the suburb, you know, to the sports arena downtown by these blighted neighborhoods, you can't just say, I'm paying my taxes, government's going to fix that. You need to get involved. You need to get involved yourself, whether through a good mentor program or some religious charity, whatever it is, to make a difference. And that's how we help resuscitate our culture.
Now, folks, I am really, really sick of this crap. I'm always fascinated by white right-wing conservatives who enjoy scapegoating my community for this nation's ills. Wall Street, the big banks, credit card industry, the financial markets nearly ruined our nation. And yet the black community stirs the ire of conservatives. When it comes to the entities that are responsible for the social and economic ruining of our nation, Ryan and his ilk have been especially muted in their criticism. And I often ask myself why. Because it's easier to level vitriol at struggling families in the inner city, because the resources to fight back to criticism isn't as vast as the Koch brothers and the plutocrats that Ryan and his ilk joyously protect. Let me be clear about this, Mr. Ryan. More whites are on welfare than African Americans. More whites receive food stamps than African Americans, 32% to 22%, I think the last figures were. And so for every blighted community in our country, there is a corporation that is receiving corporate welfare, receiving tax breaks and subsidies from our government, from taxpayer dollars. For every blighted inner city neighborhood in our country, there is a CEO who has driven a business in the ground, laid off its workers, or shipped jobs overseas, but themselves are the recipients of multi-million-dollar golden parachutes while their former employees are on the unemployment line. That is the inequality that Ryan and his ilk avoid addressing. But statistics are not the issue. Poverty, inequality, those are the issues. And here's a message to folks like Paul Ryan. Black folks work. Hispanics work. In fact, we are perhaps the hardest working and most underpaid people in this country. While you bigots are driving in your Mercedes or flying into Washington, D.C. on the taxpayer dime, many of us are riding the bus to work. We are taking cabs to work. We are riding bikes to work. We are piling in cars or borrowing money for gas just to get to work. Many of us are working 15-hour days and upward of 30 to 50 miles away from our homes. We are the ones that are working overtime and being underpaid, doing time and a half, working on holidays just to keep food on our darn tables. And darn it, many of us are holding down two darn jobs just to support our families. So don't ever make the suggestion that we are not working hard and doing what is right by our families. It's an insult to us. It's an insult to me. It's an insult to my community. And folks need to respond to that crap and that nonsense. Sorry, I want to admit, We do have some lazy folks in our community. I'm not going to suggest otherwise. We have some irresponsible people that occupy too much free time in our community, not doing what is appropriate or doing what is right. I understand that. We do have major issues with what seems to be a culture of destructive behaviors, whether it's with fatherless homes, drug dealing, gang violence, and a host of other pathologies. But these issues are not exclusive to the inner city or to the black community. Yes, it's profoundly prominent and a plaguing problem that beleaguers many black communities across the country. But to suggest that this is indicative of the entire black community, it's a farce. It's a blatant lie. It's a despicable and counterproductive argument that simply is not true. And since Ryan made these statements, some folks are comparing his comments to actor Bill Cosby. And of course, Bill Cosby has been vociferous in his critique of the pathologies that continue to dog our community. And although he's been roundly criticized by certain quarters of our community, mainly academics and the more radical activists who are on the front lines for justice and equality, there is a consensus that the problems are consistent and requires our attention. We know that instinctively. Heck, even President Obama and Minister Farrakhan, for all that matters, have been consistent in weighing in on this issue. But there is a marked difference in their assessment. And I'm talking about President Obama and Bill Cosby. More difference in their assessment of our problems and that of Paul Ryan. But I want you to listen to some of what Bill Cosby has to say about an issue in our community. Take a listen.
You got to answer the same questions that you've always asked yourself. Why would a boy say he doesn't mind going into prison because his friends are there? Why would he say that? It's got to be about the house he's in. It's got to be about the apartment. Something's not right. And I said 6 years ago, I don't have my timing off. Our children are trying to tell us something, and we're not listening.
Now, let me be clear, folks. Mr. Cosby is addressing these issues with a sense of urgency, a sense of love and responsibility. There's a firmly held desire to change the situation out of compassion to see that our men particularly thrive in our country and hold some responsibility for their actions. From everything that you glean from Mr. Cosby and Minister Farrakhan and President Obama, there is a sincere desire for things to change. And they instinctively understand that resources in the area of education and employment opportunities are required. But more importantly, folks, they know and are intimately familiar with the work ethic of 95% of the folks in the inner city. So while Paul Ryan and his ilk make irresponsible and blanket statements suggesting that the pathologies that beleaguer the inner city is typical, as if these behaviors, unemployment, crime, and antisocial behaviors are exclusive to the inner city, we know that that isn't true. The vast majority of our inner city neighborhoods are hardworking, honest, church-going people trying to raise a family and eke out a living in this world. And yes, of course, we know that there are a lot of young men standing around, not doing anything, and it bothers the hell out of me. I understand that. We know that there are some folks who are selling drugs, participating in all manner of criminal activity, causing violence and destroying the quality of life in many of our neighborhoods and not taking advantage of opportunities. We know that. But when you drain the resources from our communities and when you stymie growth, particularly business growth, and when you curtail vital services and halt federal dollars and the bevy of programs that can have a huge impact in eradicating these problems, his disingenuous and insensitive comments fall on deaf ears. And in addition to that, folks, when you juxtapose Ryan's comments with the facts on the ground, that this is not an inner city culture, that the vast majority of the folks in the inner city are hardworking. They're working the long hours. They're taking the bus to work 30 to 40 miles away from their homes to earn a living. That is not easy. They're riding bikes to work. That is not easy. Exhausting every opportunity to better themselves. It's not easy. I mean, I remember when I was young and I used to take the cab to work. And then in some instances, I used to have to ride a bike to work. Stuff is not easy, particularly when you live so far away from your place of residence. So when Paul Ryan makes these blanket statements, for me, it has little merit because I know instinctively and by experience how hardworking folks are in the inner city. Because really, his comments are based on efforts to appeal to a base that has always, always been hostile toward efforts to assist the less affluent communities in our country. And here, folks, is the difference between Paul Ryan's cynical and offensive remarks and that of President Obama, Minister Farrakhan, Bill Cosby, and a host of others. Here's the difference. Paul Ryan's policy prescriptions are rooted in the philosophical worldview of Ayn Rand. Ryan's policy prescription is tethered to a kind of economy that is absent globalization, absent a growing immigration population. His policies completely ignore the changing demographics that require different needs and services. His policies are geared toward an unrestrained free market and a private industry that is given free rein to ship jobs overseas to maximize profits at the expense of the American people. That's where his head is. That's where his heart is. And if anybody suggests otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. I remember one economist suggesting, and he was very critical of Ryan. He said his budget plan suggests that his prescriptions are fit for a bygone era. And he's absolutely right about that. I think Paul Ryan's policy prescriptions are far more sinister. I think what he offers is grounded in a belief that if you give every possible break to the rich, that it would somehow trickle down to the poor and the middle class. I made that assessment. The economist that made the critical remarks about Ryan suggests the same thing. And it's true. Another far more important point, folks. Again, because he so admires Ayn Rand, who, by the way, I want to remind folks, Ayn Rand was a Russian-born philosopher and novelist who promulgated selfish individualism, objectivism, and the notion that religion, faith, and caring for others are virtues that should be roundly rejected. She was a staunch atheist that rejected the idea that being your brother's keeper and having a morality that is based on biblical principles are antithetical to her ideas and philosophy. She also touted the idea, which she called objectivism, that pursuing one's own happiness and self-interest is a proper moral purpose that should not be infringed upon by any religious tenet that require a concern for others. She also blasted any social policy that interfered with individual rights embodied in a capitalist society. She railed against any social, emotional, or faith-oriented obligation to anyone other than oneself. In fact, she once said that you couldn't follow her and Jesus Christ at the same time. This is who Paul Ryan admired or admires. Because up until he was the vice presidential nominee in the last presidential election, Paul Ryan bragged about his admiration and his appreciation of Ayn Rand's philosophical worldview. But because of political expediency, he suddenly had a change of heart. He made it clear, folks, and I want to remind you that Ayn Rand was the inspiration behind his political and economic worldview. In fact, he required his staffers to read her most famous work, Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. But because of political expedience, he had to have a change of heart. Paul Ryan, folks, is irrevocably tethered to Ayn Rand's philosophical worldview, regardless of the lengths he will go to sever those ties, and it spills into his legislative agenda. And much of Paul Ryan's policies are rooted in Ayn Rand philosophy. That's why he and his cohorts will rail against government. That's why he'll gut every program that is designed to help the poor and the middle class. That's why his economic policies are geared toward protecting the interests of the wealthy at the expense of the middle class. That's why tax breaks are given to the rich and the social safety net is torn to shreds. It's because of that philosophical worldview that he ascribes to. And I want you to understand this. I want to make this abundantly clear for those of us, for those of you who wonder why we are so passionate and perhaps even against some of the Republican Party's policies, because their leadership continue to use race baiting and the time-honored political tradition of the Southern strategy to win elections. And in case you're not familiar with the Southern strategy, I suggest you research that dastardly exploitation of our political system, our people, and poor whites. See, we frown our noses at Republicans because of their persistent hypocrisy, while they will excoriate and scapegoat poor people for the condition of the economy, their cynical efforts to protect the interests of the wealthy through tax schemes and tax breaks and subsidies and legislative agendas is the actual drain of our nation's economy. Their efforts fuel discontent, they fuel hostility, and in many cases, and I'm going to admit, perhaps even envy. There's no question about it. When you see folks who are thriving and succeeding in life because of the breaks that they've been given or because of the privilege that they've been handed down, there perhaps is some envy, particularly when you are working your behind off trying to make ends meet. And these folks will utilize our legislative structures to allow corporations to ship jobs overseas. They allow them to exploit workers in third world countries and here in the United States. They undermine the American worker for profit. That is what is going on. That is who Paul Ryan is protecting, folks. So it's easy for him to target inner city communities. But he won't say a word, lift a finger to deal with the kind of inequality that exists in this country, particularly as corporations continue to exploit their workers. When Paul Ryan stands before crowds or hurl self-serving comments on the radio to low-information voters and hurl repeated lies that have been roundly debunked by a rudimentary set of understanding of the facts, it speaks to their integrity and that of a party that represent why we frown on Republicans. And I furthermore want to say we frown on Republicans, particularly those who subscribe to the more fringe conservative ideology, because they are the complete antithesis of the faith in which they speak. Theirs is an ideology built on selfish individualism and self-centeredness. Paul Ryan had to denounce his love and admiration for a woman he touted as his hero, Ayn Rand, not because he holds fast to his denunciation of her views, but because of political expediency. His admiration for a Russian-born atheist philosopher who decried the notion of faith, God, and Jesus' teaching is proof positive that his comments and castigation of the inner city is rooted in a damnable worldview, which is the antithesis of all that Jesus stood for. We frown on Republicans because they are being led by hateful people that hold elected offices and by rabid bigots like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Glenn Beck. Now, although some of you might agree with their so-called social values, you must know that they've said nothing that suggests compassion, equality, and a desire to see all Americans experience happiness and freedom in our country, despite the hypocritical crap that they spew. Yes, we've abdicated our responsibility in some of the areas that he mentions, but that does not mean that either he or the Republican Party has a monopoly on the values and culture they deem appropriate and wholesome. I will suggest to you that the values they claim to hold dear is undermined by their own hypocrisy in every area, whether it's marriage, having babies out of wedlock, education, employment. They've not been far behind on those statistics, folks. It's simply a fact that the media in our country are predisposed to highlighting the being that's in the eyes of other communities and not their own. And so when they speak of Judeo-Christian values or suggest that America is somehow a Christian nation, I want to remind you that America is not a Christian nation. I don't care what folks say. America's God is not the God of Scripture, the Old Testament or the New Testament or any of the holy books. America's God is capitalism. The spirit of America's God is not the Holy Spirit reflected in Scripture. It is the spirit called the free market. The holy writ of America's God is not any of the versions of the Bible or any of the holy books. It's the Constitution. Capitalism's sacred symbol is not the cross upon which Jesus died, but the stars and stripes known as the American flag. America's God, we call it capitalism, has its own prophets. Ayn Rand, Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, Robert Lafayette, Paul Ryan, and so many others that subscribe to that nonsense. Their doctrine and dogma is not derived from Christian scripture, but from the cynical worldview of objectivism, rational self-interest, specialization, and selfish individualism. And the institutions that promote and advances America's God, capitalism. It's not a Vatican or a seminary that promotes the God of Scriptures. It's the institutions of J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup. And I want to say this as I close. America's God, capitalism, doesn't have a holy city named Jerusalem. Capitalism's holy city is Wall Street. So as I close, I want to again, we have problems in our community, but there are so many people, so many institutions, so many entities in our country working diligently to change the problems in our community. And if I'm going to give Paul Ryan any credit, it is for opening up the door to talk about these issues in a more passionate, thought-provoking, and provocative way. And certainly that's what I enjoy doing here on Community Voices. We got to change the dynamics in the inner city without question. But when it comes from a cynical, self-serving perspective, that is where I have a problem. There are so many people in our communities working hard every single day to eke out a living, and they ought not to be castigated or painted with a broad brush as if they are responsible for the conditions that exist in the inner city. Yes, young black men need to change their behaviors. Yes, young black women need to change their behaviors. Yes, our inner cities need to change some of the dynamics that keep us in a bad situation. But I am here to tell you, there are hundreds of thousands and millions of folks in the inner city that are doing what they are required to do to earn a living, to earn a paycheck, to do what is right by their families, go to church, praise God, and do all the wonderful things that every other community does in this country. And for Paul Ryan to castigate the inner city is irresponsible, insensitive, and in some ways bigoted. And that's how I feel. And I know there are so many folks, particularly those who are on the front lines of trying to change the dynamics in the inner city. I know they feel the same way. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to thank you for tuning in and joining us for a very provocative discussion. I've long maintained that it is the working class and working poor and the folks in our inner city neighborhoods who are the folks that sustain our economy. There's not a product or service in existence without a worker to fill orders or cobble together the materials to bring products to the market. And a great majority of the folks live in our inner cities. At some point, the emphasis and rewards must shift to the working class, the poor and middle class families, and the Americans that live in our inner city neighborhoods. Mr. Paul Ryan. Once again, I want to shout out my friend Tony Cradle Foster and her fellow soldiers who are doing yet another tour in Afghanistan and still listens to my show and this station. Be safe and come home soon. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.